This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين. سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, always and forever begin with the praise and the thanks of Allah. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our love, our greetings and our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and his pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we are honored to have the Voice of the Cape here with us this afternoon for Jumu'ah, and we send a warm greeting to all the listeners from Masjid Burhan al-Islam here in the Buka. Assalamu alaikum. And alhamdulillah, after 2 weeks of a break, we return to our series, The First Caliph, The Caliphate of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and this is part 5 of the series. For those who are listening and you'd like to follow up, our lectures are all on our YouTube channel, and you can join our WhatsApp line as well, inshallah. We'll just say more about that towards the end. So when we left off, we said that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu becomes the Khalifa. Quick summary. After the calamitous passing of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and within 1 year he does an amazing job. First thing he does is he unifies the Muslims once again under a central leadership. All the Muslims are united behind one Khalifa. And while the Muslims are united, the rest of Arabia rebels. And all around there are new false prophets and new rebellions and new armies threatening to break away from the authority of Medina. And within the first month of Sayyidina Abu Bakr's caliphate, he has to defend Medina from an invasion. And without an army, the army wasn't in Medina. We said the army was sent out by the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before he passed away. And so Sayyidina Abu Bakr and a handful of people went out and defended Medina from being invaded. What a way to start off your caliphate. The army returns and the news reaches that there are many, many false prophets. In every direction, there are rebellions. In every direction, there are tribes that are revolting against the authority of Medina. What should we do? And through the consultation of the Sahaba and a very bold and brave strategy of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he decided we're going to take on every single one of them at the same time. 11 armies are going to go out from Medina, and we will keep one primary army to take them out one by one. And this was led by Saifullah Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. And within the next couple of months, this stage is called the battle, the wars of Ridda, the wars of the Murtads, those who left Islam and the false prophets. And we said it was a bitter, difficult campaign. But within 6-7 months, every single one of these rebels, from Yemen to Bahrain to Kuwait to the whole of Arabia, all of them were subdued and all the false prophets were defeated. Subhanallah. After the wars of Ridda, this is all within the first few months of Sayyidina Abu Bakr being the Khalifa. Within the first year after the wars of Ridda, many, many of the Sahaba and Huffaz died in the wars of Ridda. And so it was decided to compile the Quran in what we call a Mus'haf, in a book. So within a few months after the death of the Nabi Sallam, we already had a Quran in a book form. The only religion on earth, the only religion on earth where the scripture was preserved basically immediately after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. And that is why, alhamdulillah, whether you go to China, whether you go to South America, the Quran that is recited is the exact same Quran, to the letter, to the dot, because of the Sahaba preserving it in a book form and of course memorizing it. Now, alhamdulillah, after bringing all of Arabia back into the fold of Islam, defeating all the local enemies, what a year, subhanAllah. And we said, you can admire Sayyidina Abu Bakr in 1 year, all that he's achieved in 1 year. If a Khalifa did this in one lifetime, it would have been a lot. He did this in a few months. And so now that he's done all the hard part, what is the next thing? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says to the Sahaba, we will continue where the Nabi left off. And when the Prophet ﷺ, before he passed away, his intentions were clear. We are going to take on the superpowers of this world. At that time, the two great powers were the Romans and the Persians. So, Islam is not an Arabian religion. It is a universal religion. And his intentions, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the first location outside of Arabia was Palestine, Masjid al-Aqsa. That is where we're going to go to. And of course, that was under the command of the Romans. And so, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was contented. He was convinced. We will continue where the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left off and send our armies into Bilad al-Sham, into Syria, into Lebanon, into Palestine, to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa from the control of the Romans. But at the same time, and this is where there's two wars that's going to happen side by side, that Sayyidina Khalid Walid radiallahu anhu, who is the commander in chief of the army, at this time, after he defeated the false prophets, he was on the other side of Arabia. Sayyidina Abu Bakr is on the west side, where the Romans are. Khalid Walid is on the east side of Arabia, the side of Kuwait, Bahrain, that side. And that's where the Persians were. And so instead of coming back to Medina, Khalid Walid writes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr and he says, we are in the lands of the Persians. And our brothers here in Iraq, they want us to fight against the Persians. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's mind is fighting the Romans. Khalid is writing to the Khalifa and saying, the people here want to be free of the Persians. Are we going to take on both the superpowers at the same time, subhanAllah? Are we going to fight the Romans and the Persians at the same time? The Muslims are just an upstart. No one really even took them seriously. And so, subhanAllah, before we discuss, and we're going to talk today about the conquest of Persia, we must ask ourselves, why did the Muslims invade Persia? Are we a predatory kind of religion that we take on and invade? Remember, Allah speaks about jihad, and Allah subhanahu says in the Quran, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, what is wrong with you, O Muslims? That you do not fight jihad in the path of Allah. والمستضعفين, and the oppressed, من الرجال, the oppressed men, والنساء, and the ladies, والولدان, and the children, الذين يقولون, they crying, ربنا, O Allah, ربنا, our Lord, أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم. Take us away from this oppression. How many people on earth today, Muslims, brothers and sisters, are crying, Ya Allah, send us a savior. Ya Allah, save us from this. Take us away from this oppressive people. وَجَعَلَّنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّا, and send from yourself a wali for us, a protector from us. وَجَعَلَّنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ نَصِيرًا, and grant us someone to assist us. How many of our brothers and sisters, whether it is Palestine, whether it is Afghanistan, whether it is Kashmir, and the list goes on, Burma, how many of our brothers are crying? We are our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters crying for assistance. And this is the context of jihad. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not planning on entering Persia. But the Muslim tribes who were living under the control of the Persians wrote to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we want to be free of these people. We want to have our own freedom. So let Khalid stay here with the army and allow us to fight against the Persians. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminds us, so maybe Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Thumma Alhamdulillah, we do not live in our country where we are being persecuted for our religion. But there are many wrongs that are happening. And so jihad does not stop only on the battlefield. The Nabi says to you and me, the highest, he was asked of him, what is the greatest form of jihad? The greatest form of jihad. And the Nabi said, to speak haq, to speak the truth to a tyrant, to an evil person, is the highest form of jihad. Whether it is your boss, whether it is the president, whether it is the king, the imam, whoever it is, to speak the truth, even if it might cost you something, but to speak the truth is the highest form of jihad. And it shows you the principle of jihad is not about conquest and invasion and money. It's about liberation. It's about freedom. It's about doing what is right. And so in a beautiful story, before the Muslims invaded, when the Muslims invaded Persia, I'm jumping now into the future. When the Persians eventually took the Muslims seriously, initially they didn't take the Muslims seriously, but when the Muslims, I'm going to talk about, after what Khalid radiallahu anhu did, the Persians took note, these people are serious. So they asked an ambassador of the Muslims to come forward. His name is, and many of you might not have even heard the name of Sahabi, Rib'i radiallahu anhu. Rib'i is the Sahabi, Rib'i. Rib'i meets a Persian prime minister called Rustum. So Rib'i and Rustum. And Rustum, the Persian, asks Rib'i, we see you people coming from the desert. You have no clothes, you have no food. You are basically Bedouins. If you came out of Arabia to fight us for money, we will give every one of you 100 gold coins, a new camel, and enough food that you can take from here, from Iran all the way to Medina. We'll send you food non-stop. Go back home, if that's why you came. And Rib'i says to this Persian man, do you know why we are here? We are here to take you and all of mankind out of the enslavement of the creation and make you to be worshippers of the Creator. We want to remove all of you from worshipping the creation to worshipping the Creator. And to take you out of the oppression or the narrowness of this dunya and open your mind to the vastness of the akhirah. And to save you and your people from the oppression of your religions to the freedom of Islam. Look at this, that's why I'm here. We are only here to save you from Jahannam. That's why we are here. So the man said to him, Rustum says to Rib'i, and you're going to fight with us. We are the superpower. What do you expect is going to happen? We're going to crush you. So he says, as for us, we know there's only two outcomes. Either we win and Allah grants us power over you and we're victorious, or we die and we get to Jannah. There's no other outcome for us. Either way, it's win-win. Every single one of our soldiers know there's no losing for us. We are going to win, one way or another. And then he said to him, so are you speaking amongst yourself? Are you an ambassador or some big man in your people? He says, no, I'm an ordinary Muslim. But the Muslims are like one body. I speak for all of us. What I say is what we all say. Whether you speak to the Khalifa or you speak to the slave, we're all the same. If you embrace Islam, you'll be one of us. And if you reject this thing and you fight against us, there's only the sword between us and with Allah decide. So this shows you why the Muslims went into Persia. The first was that the Muslims in the area, they asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, leave the army here, leave Khalid Walid radiallahu anhu here. And as we said, the Persians themselves, subhanAllah, the Persians themselves, we should not forget, were the first to be hostile to the Muslims. A few years back, what happened? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote a letter to the Emperor of Persia, inviting him to Islam. And what did he do? He almost killed the Sahabi who brought the letter. And he tore up the letter and threw it. And he said, how dare this man calls me to your religion? And he sent assassins to go and fetch the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallam said to those assassins, inform your Lord that my Lord killed his Lord. Inform your governor that my Allah killed your king. And when they got the news, the emperor of Persia had been killed by his own son. And then he said, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is why the Persian empire collapsed. He said, just as this man tore up my letter, Allah will tear up his kingdom. And in a few years, his kingdom will disappear. The Nabi Sallam didn't say that about the Romans. The Roman emperor, Heracles, a Christian man, he took the Nabi Sallam's letter and he honored it. And he wrote back to the Nabi Sallam saying, I don't want to embrace your religion, but I respect you. So the Nabi Sallam said, because of what he did, he showed me respect, Allah will keep his kingdom. And the Roman Empire survived for very long. But because of the Persian attitude, the Nabi Sallam, Allah has decreed for him a punishment, his entire kingdom will disappear. And from this point we'll talk today, within 5 years, 6 years, an empire that stood over 1,000 years disappears from history. Nothing left of the empire. Not even their language exists anymore. Nothing. People can't understand why, where. The reason, this is when you go to war with Allah and His Rasul, what happens to you. And so, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gives permission to Khalid Walid, you may remain in that area, and you may take any volunteers, there's a volunteer army, to enter Persia. But the real objective, Sayyidina Abu Bakr is telling Khalid Walid, you guys, you have almost an independent campaign, you follow the rules, but my focus is on Masjid Al-Aqsa. So, while this is happening in Persia, we're going to talk about Persia, there's a major war happening against the Romans on the other side of the world. So when Khalid radiallahu anhu enters Persia, and you must know a bit of your geography, there are two major rivers that flows through Iraq and Iran. It's called the Euphrates and the Tigris. On the one side are the Arabs. On the other side you have the Iranians or the Persians. And so the objective was, all the lands that they are Arabs, that are Arabs, we will only stick to the side, Iraq basically, we won't enter Iran. And you stick to the river, and the capital of Iraq was a city called Hira, a huge city. This is the objective. Get to Hira, Khalid, get to Hira. If you get there, in 2 years, 3 years, wherever it is, the plan is a long-term strategy, mission accomplished. So Khalid radiallahu anhu enters, and it's important to look at the dates. He enters into Persia on April 633. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away in June the year before. It's amazing to think all that Sayyidina Abu Bakr has done in 10 months. We are on the doorsteps of, we are in Persia. And we are in Rome, on the Roman frontier. And so Khalid radiallahu anhu enters Persia with 18,000 men. This army of the Muslims are just buttas put together. Farmers, teachers, business people. They're not soldiers. They're not training. But they're going to meet for the first time in their life a trained professional army, a paid army. Right. And the army of the Persians, as we know, was perhaps the most formidable army in the world at that time. The Muslims don't know what to expect. Except that they have Iman in Allah, we have Allah on our side. They don't have equipment. They don't have the only, subhanAllah, the weapons are what you carry with you. That's it. Whereas the Persian army, they get issued weapons from the treasury. And so the first army that meets the Muslims, and there's going to be four battles we'll talk about today. There were four decisive battles. Khalid Walid radiallahu anhu, and it's beautiful that it's recorded how the army of the Muslims, a tiny army, defeats four massive enemies, and the strategies are recorded. The first battle is called the Battle of the Chains. We'll talk why it's called the Battle of the Chains. Khalid enters Persia, and he is going on the highway towards Hira. So obviously the Persians must respond. They can't let an enemy just go up the N1, going towards Joburg, going to conquer Joburg. No, we need to stop him. The Persian army is huge, well equipped, lot of machinery, lot of resources, but it's heavy and slow. And Khalid knows this, radiallahu anhu. So he says, now if you think again in my analogy, he's going from Cape Town to Joburg. And so the general of the Persians sends his army also down the N1 to meet Khalid. And immediately Khalid then, radiallahu anhu, says, we'll go, take the N2. We swap over. So the army comes all the way, they unpack, they establish themselves, they realize the Muslims have left, and they will go through the other road. So now the Persians must pick up their material, put their tents in, and back and forth. And he does this a few times. Eventually the Persian army, chasing cat and mouse around the faster Muslim army, they are completely exhausted. And Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, the army, 18,000 men against almost 50,000 Persians, he attacks them when they are unable to really establish themselves, and within one day completely pushes them off the battlefield. Persians never expected this. Why it's called the Battle of the Chains? In a desperate attempt to stop their soldiers from fleeing, the commander tied their soldiers up with chains so you can't run away. And of course this was even worse for them because they couldn't move. They were stuck. And so they were defeated. 1-0 to the Muslims. Subhanallah. The Persians were shocked. Couldn't believe that a bunch of desert Bedouins could beat one of the frontier armies. And immediately they responded by sending a second army. This time, more, you know, they took the Muslims more seriously. And they send top tier generals in this army. This army again, this is called the Battle of the River. Because the Persians, to make sure their soldiers are not going to run, they station their army with the river to their back. So if you want to run, you're going to drown. You can't move. You are now stuck. And we are going to fight to the death. This is symbolic of, we are either going to fight and die, or we're going to drown. And the Muslims now meets them at the river. This is in May. So the first battle in April. The next month, we have a new Persian army. The Muslims down, they lost 3,000 men, so they're 15. The Persians are able to send another army, 30,000+. And so, 30,000, the Muslims 17,000. And so, Khalid radiallahu anhu, what was his strategy in this battle? He says to his generals, this army of Persians, it's a big army. It requires a lot of communication, coordination. If you take out their senior leadership, this army is not going to be able to function. And so the Persians, they've now really, you know, subhanAllah, any of you sportsmen know that when a top country or a big a sporting team loses to a tiny team, you need to take some kind of revenge. And so Khalid Radin says, okay, before we fight, your best men come forward, my best men go forward. I send my generals, you send your generals. So before the battle begins, now if you call out the generals, they must respond. And so one by one, the Persian generals comes. And he faces off with his opposite Muslim number. And one by one, the Muslims takes out their Persian counterparts. They send out the biggest man, they call him a mountain, in the Persian army to fight Khalid ibn Walid. They see dust going up. Within 2 seconds, that guy is on the ground. And Khalid is sitting on his chest, eating his lunch. He said, is this the best you've got? So one by one, the entire upper management of the Persian army is destroyed in one-on-one combat. Not a single Muslim loses the one-on-one combat. And before the Persians can even begin to reassert their lines, Khalid radiallahu anhu sends his army in, and the Persian army once again completely defeated because they have no coordination now. There's no leadership, no one telling who to go where. The Persian army flees, some drown, some escape. This happens within 2-3 weeks after this battle. Now the Emperor of Persia, getting the news that two of his armies, 100,000 men, were defeated. One Muslim army of 15,000 men is doing all this kind of damage. He calls a war council and he says, we're going to send two more armies. So we just beat two. The Persians are going to send another two armies to stop Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu on his campaign towards Hira, the capital of Iraq. This becomes a bit of a crisis now, because the Muslims realize they can't keep going. Every time the Muslims defeat a huge army, the Persians can send another big army. And the Muslims can only lose once. If they lose once, they finished. The Persians can keep throwing more and more and more armies. And so Khalid radiallahu anhu, he had to come up with a strategy. I need to beat an army so completely that they can't regroup. Because a lot of times you win the battle and the half the army or 70% run away and they can regroup and come back. So the Persians are constantly regrouping, forming a new army and fighting again. How do we, 15,000 men, 13,000 men, defeat an army of 50,000 men so completely that they can't come back a second time. He had to think of a strategy. And the next battle is called the Battle of Walaja, also in May. So just 2 weeks after the Battle of the River. The first army, the emperor sent two imperial armies to Khalid. He wanted to make sure that these two armies don't join up. We need to take them out one by one. Because if they join up, it's a huge army. And so immediately, Khalid radiallahu anhu decides we need to fight this army at the Battle of Walaja. And this battle is perhaps what, from a military strategy, is regarded as perhaps his finest strategy. Only two generals, Khalid radiallahu anhu and another general, in the history of mankind, managed to pull off a maneuver like this. A stroke of genius. So remember, Khalid radiallahu anhu's objective is, we don't only have to win this battle, guys. We don't have to beat them. We have to destroy them completely. This army cannot survive and join up. Remember, another army is on its way. It's going to become too big to fight such a big number. We need to make sure this army can't regroup. And so at the Battle of the Walaja, the plan was, we need to encircle this army completely. A small army encircling a big army, never been done before. And we need to make sure they're in a trap and they can't get out. So how did he do this? In the Battle of Walaja, it's basically four stages. Stage one, the Persians and the Muslims are lined up. The Muslims will fight first, push into the Persians. Stage two, the Persians will defend. So in stage one, the Muslims attack and the Persians defend. Stage two, the Muslims become tired, in inverted commas, and the Persians counter-attack. And as they counter-attack, they push the Muslims back and back and back, and the Persians move in. Now if you think of a line, a saf, like a salah, saf. The center of the saf pulls in. And as you pull in, the Persian army moves further, deeper in, whereas the side stays strong. And slowly, you're pulling the Persians into a kind of a trap. Meanwhile, Khalid radiallahu anhu has soldiers hidden in the desert, a cavalry. So once the Persians are in this little cove, he signals for the cavalry to come behind and lock them in. And this is exactly what they did. I said, only this is the second time in history that a small army was able to completely surround a bigger army from all directions. And when you are now being attacked from all directions, you don't know where to move, how to do it. And so within, again, another, subhanAllah, another victory, the Battle of Walaja, completely defeats the Persian army. This has never been done, never been seen before. No general has managed to pull this out. And that is why, subhanAllah, as we said, when the Prophet ﷺ gave Sayyidina Khalid Walid, Saifullah, you are the sword of Allah. This is not human, this is superhuman. Because Allah, in a manner which befits His Majesty, He has swords, He has weapons. But His swords are not made of steel. His swords are people. And when He appoints someone as His weapon, there's no way you're going to defeat the weapon of Allah. You are never going to beat the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Persians, the best generals in the world, all the resources could not understand how this man and this army was able to defeat them in this manner. And so at the Battle of Walaja, the Persian army was completely neutralized. The second part of the army arrives to find the first army gone. And on the same day when that army arrives, the Muslims didn't even rest. They took on that army and defeated. It's called the Battle of Ulais. And Khalid radiallahu anhu himself says that at the battle against the Romans, I broke 9 swords. But I've never met an enemy like the Persians. And I never met the Persians more desperate in the Battle of Ulais. We don't have, unfortunately, the details of the fourth battle. We don't have the east, what happened there. But he, Khalid says, this was the most fearsome of the four. But even there, the Muslims defeated the Persians at the Battle of Ulais. So from April until June, the Muslims defeated 4 Persian armies and shocked the world. This was like, if you were living that time, the headlines would be, can't believe it. It's like, Lesotho has just beaten the United States of America. You know, literally, it's like that. 4 battles and they completely routed them. And so the entire hierarchy of the Persians tremble. And they withdraw their forces. And basically Iraq is left to the Muslims. And from that victory until now, that land is within Muslim lands. Hira, which was the long-term strategy, it was believed that it will take you months, maybe years, for the Muslims to get to Hira, the capital of Iraq. Within 3 months, the Muslims arrive at Hira. Sayyidina Khalid Walid and the Muslims, they rest and they consolidate their power. They consolidate their control in Iraq and they liberate the Muslims, liberate the people of Iraq. And what is beautiful is when the Muslims conquered, and this shows you the difference of There are many wars in the world, and you see what the armies do when they enter a town, how they enslave and subjugate their people. The people are always fighting. Look at the Americans, subhanAllah. They were 20 years in Afghanistan. The minute they left, the army left, everything went back, because this was the oppressor. Whereas when the Muslims entered Iraq or Egypt, wherever, they didn't destroy any buildings. They didn't destroy the heritage or the culture. In fact, we know Sayyidina Abu Bakr reminded his generals, as the Nabi reminded them, you're not allowed to destroy synagogues and churches, cut trees, hurt animals, hurt women, hurt children. Can't do any of that. If they offer you peace, you take peace. If they want protection, you give them protection. You only fight when they fight you. And so when the Muslims entered like this, and the people of Iraq found that the taxes that they were paying the emperor of Persia was so much more than the 2.5% zakah that you pay for the poor and the needy. Not going back to Medina. When they conquered, they didn't say, we're going to take all your money like the colonials did. The crown of the queen, a diamond from South Africa, a pearl from India, all of this. No, no, no. Nothing is going back to Medina. It is for the poor people of your country. If you embrace Islam, you are brothers. If you don't embrace Islam, that's up to you, but we will protect you. When the people saw that, without the sword, they embraced Islam completely. They left their religions and they entered Islam. And so, alhamdulillah, within a few months, Iraq becomes consolidated. And then news reaches Khalid, SOS. The battle against the Romans is not going so well. We hear how good you are doing in Iraq, but the real army that is fighting against the Romans, we are struggling. The Emperor of Rome himself has come to fight the Muslims. We need you to support us. And so now Sayyidina Khalid and Saifullah will take a U-turn and go all the way to fight in the land of Sham. And inshallah next week we'll talk about that. All of this, subhanAllah, 1 year. And remember, this is not about Sayyidina Khalid and Walid. It's about Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We started the series by saying, if anyone questions the legitimacy of the Khalifa, the Caliphate of Sayyidina Bakr, if anyone questions his character, look at what this man did in 1 year. 1 year the Nabi Sallam passes away. In that calamity, in that difficulty, we are, you know, going against the heights that couldn't be imagined. Allah would not give success except to a people that He was pleased with. And that is why in the Quran, you don't say, Rahimullah, may Allah have mercy on the Sahaba. We say, Radiallahu an, Allah is pleased with them. Waradu an, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the people that Allah said, Khayru ummatin ukhrijat nas. Allah said that these people, these Sahaba, Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and the Sahaba, they are the best people that ever lived on earth. Every Nabi, after he died, after his disciples passed away, the religion disappeared. They went back to the old ways. Whereas this ummah, our Sahaba, maintained this deen so that you and I are Muslim now, 1,500 years later. That here in Cape Town, we can perform salah the same way our Nabi performed salah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How? Because of their efforts. We recite the Quran as the Nabi recited the Quran. How? Because of their efforts and their struggles. That is why, radiallahu anhum, Allah is pleased with them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen, ameen. We say jazakallah khair again, once again, for the voice of the Cape with us. If you want to follow up on our series, it's all online. And just a few announcements. I'm glad I get to do this one online. That here at Burhanul Islam, we do a meet and treat, a halal Islamic matchmaking. So there are many young people who are not married and looking to find spouses. And we host these once a month, where young men, young ladies that are interested in marriage, not friendship, you know, you have enough friends, but you want to get married, inshallah, we have a controlled halal environment. And you can meet 10, 12 eligible brothers and sisters. And the next one will be on the 15th of October. For those of you who are interested in, you have a brother, a sister, whether you are young or old, and you want to get married, inshallah, you can message us, and inshallah, we will add you to our database. And if you are so fortunate, you will join our meet and treat. And then if you'd like to donate to the masjid or our feeding scheme, we have a madrasa, we have a soup kitchen. Alhamdulillah, if you'd like to donate, you can also contact us. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.